الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا أما بعد. So we ask Allah inshallah to give us the understanding and to help us to benefit by what we learn and benefit us by what we learn and teach us what will benefit us. Alhamdulillah, we're going to talk about the zakah inshallah ta'ala. And the zakah is one of the pillars of Islam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Islam is built on five, and the zakah, bunya al-islam al-khams, the shahadatain, the salah, the zakah, the fasting, and the hajj of the house. So inshallah, we're going to go through this presentation, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah reward Brother Zahir for putting it together, inshallah. رَبِّ شَحْنِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِرْنِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ غَفْتَةَ مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْخَهُ قَوْلِي آمين. Okay. What is zakah? What does zakah mean? Zakah literally comes from the Arabic root word, which means the sadaqah or the charity that a Muslim is obliged to pay on his wealth. Different forms of wealth. The literal definition, the scholars say, is specific wealth taken from specific people and given to specific categories of people. So it's a specified amount or percentage of wealth taken from specific types of wealth and given to specific categories of people. مَالٍ مَخْصُوص بِقَدْرٍ مَخْصُوص وَتُؤْتَى لِأَشْخَاص مَخْصُوص, or to this meaning. There's different types of wealth, percentage of it has to be taken out and given to the poor and the needy and to other categories of people, which we're going to talk about. So the main purpose of zakah is to remove the ill feelings in the society between the poor and the rich, and to purify. Zakah, it means to purify. By giving zakah, it removes the jealousy and the envy that the poor have for the rich. When the rich come and give the poor some wealth, it takes away that envy and the jealousy that they have. And by giving zakah, it purifies the giver from greed and stinginess. Somebody who has a lot of wealth, they feel stingy and greedy. By giving up that wealth, then it purifies them from that stinginess and that greed. Zakah is different than sadaqah. Sadaqah is the optional wealth that we give for people, whereas zakah is obligatory and mandatory. Sadaqah can be given in any amount at any time to any category of people. Zakah is specific, taken at a specific time on specific wealth and given to specific people. So, and zakah also has a meaning of growth, to grow. And here the scholars, they say that by giving zakah, Allah puts the blessings and the barakah in the wealth that a person has. And in the hadith, those who withhold or refrain from paying zakah, then their wealth will become destroyed. By that zakah money remaining with their wealth, it will destroy the rest of their wealth and corrupt it. Paying zakah, again, is an obligation on a Muslim, obligatory for every Muslim, whether he's a child. I see a lot of young brothers here. If you have wealth that you've owned for 1 year and it's above the minimum threshold, which we're going to talk about, you have to pay zakah on it. Zakah can be 2.5% or 1/40th for wealth such as gold and silver and cash assets. And it's an ibadah. A person, by giving zakah, they're getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing about zakah is that there's a minimum amount. If somebody owns less than this minimum amount, there's no zakah. So two things have to be fulfilled in order for us to have to pay zakah. One is that it has to be above the minimum amount, which is called nisab. And number two, it has to be with us for one entire year. One hawl, one continuous or entire year. If these two things are fulfilled, then the zakah becomes due on a person. And it's based on the lunar year. The hawl, it means one full lunar year, not a solar year. Many people, for that reason, they like to choose the month of Ramadan to pay their zakat because it's based on the lunar year. Why should we pay zakat? Paying zakat is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take from their wealth a charity that will purify them and make them, cleanse them, and pray for them. Indeed, your prayer is a relief for them. And also, we have a narration that the people who withhold it and didn't pay the zakah, their wealth will come to them in the form of a snake on the Day of Judgment with black spots, a poisonous, deadly snake that will attack them and bite them and harm them on the Day of Judgment. And Allah, of course, in many places in the Quran, He says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَتُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ, and to establish prayer and to give zakah. Many, many verses in the Quran that talk about it. Why is zakah beneficial for us in this world? We talked about it will give us blessings, and it will, Allah will, it will earn the pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah will annihilate riba, and He will cause blessing in the sadaqah. The riba, it will be deprived of blessing, and the zakah will be, Allah will put great blessing in the zakat. Also, paying zakat in the akhirah, it's a goodly loan. When you give the zakat or the sadaqah, then Allah will pay it back multiplied in many, many ways, much greater than anything we can imagine. So giving the zakat or the sadaqah will earn us great, great ajr on the Day of Judgment. And there's many verses that talk about that. Also, when we talk about the zakah or the sadaqah, we should realize that Allah is the best one to return back a loan. You give a loan to another person, you don't know if He's going to pay it back. But Allah, He says this, that give Allah a goodly loan. This is out of His kindness, because it's not really a loan. Can we loan anything to Allah? He's the one who provides for us. It's in fact, He's loaning it to us. What happens to a person that did not pay zakat for many years? Brother came to me today, young brother, and he said, I never even knew the difference between zakat and sadaqah. I thought it was the same thing. You just give some charity. So he said, many years I didn't pay the zakat. So what should I do? The scholars, they say that a person has to make up for the years that went past they didn't pay the zakat. Somebody has some wealth stored away somewhere. 10 years went by. So then for each year they should pay the zakah that is due on that wealth. Who is required to pay zakah? Every Muslim who's not a slave. Every Muslim, whether he's a child or an adult. Somebody could be young, below the age of puberty, but if they have wealth, the zakah should be taken out. An orphan, sometimes they have wealth. And an insane person, or somebody who's ill, mentally ill, they might have wealth. The zakat should be taken out from their wealth. Again, the two conditions have to be met, the nisab, and it has to be with them for one full year. Now, what is one full year? One full year, there's a diagram here that'll help us understand. Over here you see that the person started out the year with $3,000, and it's above the nisab. The nisab is, we're going to talk about in silver, it's 585 grams of silver, about $300. So here, they started out the year with 3,000, and they ended the year with 6,000. So this person, they had wealth with them for an entire lunar year, and they have to pay the zakah on that wealth. It was above the nisab, and one full year went by. However, the amount of wealth that they had for the full year was 3,000. So they can, if they pay zakat on that, then the wealth that increased each month of the next year, they would have to pay more zakat corresponding to each that money that they acquired the year before. But to make things easy, the scholars say, you can just pay the zakat on the total wealth you have at the end of 1 year. That way you're paying for the previous year and prepaying for the coming year for some of your wealth. it'll be easier for a person to do that, inshallah ta'ala. Another example is if a person, they had 3,000 in the beginning of the year, and then it went up in the middle of the year, and then at the end of the year it went down again. So again, here the person only pays zakah on the amount of money they have at the end of the year. The 6,000 they didn't keep for 1 year, so that amount, the 2,000 that went down, there's no zakah due on it, because it didn't keep with them for one full lunar year. Okay, we have one more, inshallah. And here's a person who had $3,000, which is above the nisab, but then the wealth went below the nisab throughout the year. And it went up and down, and then it went up again. So, this person here, they don't have to pay zakat starting from the beginning of Ramadan, because the wealth didn't stay with them for a year, it went down and then up again. But they start counting from the time it went above the nisab again. So they count from the time that the wealth went above the nisab, which was in the month of Safar. So then they count 1 year from that, which is the next year of Safar, and then they pay zakat at that time. So when Ramadan came around, they actually didn't have the minimum amount of wealth for 1 year, so there was no zakat due on them at that time. Who are the people that can receive the zakat? This is a very common question that a lot of us probably are wondering about. The people who can receive zakat, they're mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاء وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Fuqara is one category, people who are destitute, have nothing. They are eligible for receiving zakat. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, people who have some wealth, but they are not able to meet their daily needs. They might even own a house. Some people, they have relatives, they own a house, they might even own some business, but they're not able to pay their bills. They're in debt, they're running out. They may not be in debt yet, but they're not able to meet their daily needs. They have a lot of children, so they can be given the zakah. The amalina, the workers who collect the zakah, we had this in the time prior to when there was a Muslim ruler, he appoints people to collect zakah, and they're able to take the zakah, take their payment from the zakah. Mu'allafati qulub, some people ask, can we give zakat to non-Muslims? And here the scholars say that this category of people, to bring the reconcile the hearts to Islam, is some mu'allafati qulub are people who newly accepted Islam, or people who are interested in Islam, or just to get them, attract them to the deen. And that's a category that can be given zakat. If you know of some non-Muslims, but they're interested in Islam, if you give them zakah, they might come to the masjid and accept Islam. Or people who are new Muslims but they're very poor, or giving them zakah will make their iman strong. So that is a category who can be given zakah. We cannot give zakah to a non-Muslim who will use it for sin. Can we give zakah to a non-Muslim to buy alcohol or to build a church? Things like that, we're not allowed to do that, because these are things that are being used to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To free the slaves. SubhanAllah, I want the young brothers to pay attention to this. Can you imagine slaves in Islam? One of the categories that the zakat is given is to free the slaves. So you see how Islam loves to help the slaves become free. Whereas in European society, the slaves were never freed. They were kidnapped. First of all, they were not proper slaves according to Islam, because they were kidnapped. And then they would only be freed if there was a proclamation by the government. But other than that, they were never freed. But according to Islamic law, so many ways of freeing slaves. We should even give our zakat to help free a slave. Any slave that is there, the Islamic law says, try to help him get freed by giving the zakat to that person. And the traveler, the Ibn Sabil, the son of the road, literally. Why is he called the son of the road? Because his family and his parents are unknown. It's as if the road is his parents, because he came from the road. We don't know where he came from. So in this, they use that kind of symbolic language, the son of the road. Somebody came out of nowhere and he has no wealth, he's stranded, and he might have money back home, but he can't get access to it. So I don't know, in the age of ATMs, can we still count this category. There is still people sometimes, if they're genuine, they might have that need. It happens to some people when they're traveling, they run out of wealth.
There's no ATM now.
Then they need to get home, yes. Al-Gharimeen. This is I'm sure a lot of you have a question about this. Who are the gharimeen, the people in debt? They are anybody who has debts that are currently due on them. And in order to help them pay off their debts, they can be given the zakah. These are a category of people that can be helped to get out of their debts. But provided that those debts are currently due and not due for some distant future, those kind of debts cannot be are not debts that are considered necessary to be paid off. And fi sabilillah, this is a category that many people misunderstand. Fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the ulama, they say fi sabilillah refer to defending the borders of Islam. Some people, they said fi sabilillah means in the way of Allah, anything that is good. But if that were the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't have given us all these categories. He would have said, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That's it. There wouldn't have been a need for all this explanation. So فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, the fuqaha, they say that this refers to defending the borders of Islam, or a person who is a student of knowledge, who has gone out and devoted himself completely to seeking Islamic knowledge, or finally going for Hajj. They consider that part of fi sabilillah. Somebody wants to go for Hajj, they can be given zakah.
So the students also covered in this category?
Students of Sharia, people who are devoting themselves to studying the Islamic law and Sharia, they can be given zakah. Who cannot be given zakah? Any of your ascendants or descendants are not allowed to give zakah, because those are categories of people that we are required to spend on. We're required to take care of our parents and our children. So if you give your zakat to your parents or to your children, as if you were giving it to yourself, because you're getting out of your responsibility. So we give the zakat, we cannot give it to our parents or our children. And also likewise, the husband cannot give zakat to his wife, because then he's responsible for her. He's supposed to be taking care of her anyway. So it's as if he's just trying to benefit himself by giving his wife zakat. But the wife, she can give the zakat to her husband. Inshallah. Also, zakat can be given, should not be given to pay for institutions or for salaries and things like that, unless they're used in the proper categories for zakat. Zakat cannot be given to non-Muslims except to attract them to Islam. And if a person, you think that he's poor and you give him zakat and it turns out that he was rich, then the zakat is taken care of for you. You don't have to pay it again. You gave the zakat, and then turns out the person, they actually had money, but you thought they were poor, so you don't have responsibility in that case. Okay? Any questions up to here? Alright, a couple more categories here. Buying land or buying books is not considered a category of zakat. And also clothing the dead, I'm sorry, and also for a dead person, the zakat cannot be given to a dead person. They have to be alive. It is not permissible to give zakat to a person who owns merchandise and wealth in excess of their needs. Somebody, they say, oh, I'm poor, I need zakat, and then they have some savings or a bank account where they have money in there. Obviously, a person, if they have wealth or gold or jewelry or something saved away, then we can't give that person zakat. That's a rich person. Person who does not have enough to suffice his needs for 1 year is known as miskeen. This is a very good category. A lot of people, they are miskeen. They don't look poor, but actually if you ask around, you find out that they're having a hard time meeting their needs, the basic necessities of food, clothing, and shelter. So that person can be given zakat. Okay. Okay, the scholar or tools of a tradesman are among his necessities, irrespective of their value. Okay, so if somebody says, a person, he owns a garage, and he has a very expensive equipment to fix cars, but he's still not able to pay his bills, you can't tell that person, go and sell your tools and lose your job and sell your tools. He needs those tools to do his job, so he can still be given zakat even if he owns those very nice tools, craftsman tools and all those things. Even a scholar, if he has books, he shouldn't be forced to sell his books in order to be given zakat. Giving zakat to your relatives, is it allowed? It's encouraged. It's better because you're helping to bring your family ties together. So it's very good to give zakat to your relatives. And finally, this is a very good issue here, is if a person wants to give zakat to their brother or sister. Like, you hear this a lot. Can I give zakat to my brother or my sister? And the strongest, and of course they're poor and they need help. So the strongest view is that if the brother or sister is, if you would inherit from them, then you're allowed to give them zakat. If you were to inherit from your brother and sister, then you are responsible for them and you cannot give them zakat. What does this mean? If you have a brother or sister, say you have a sister, she's not married, she has your father, she doesn't have parents or children to take care of her. Okay, so this sister, she has nobody to take care of, then her brother is responsible to take care of her. Right? So can he give her zakat? He's obliged to take care of her. So giving her zakat, he's getting out of his own responsibility. There's one exception though, where a person can give zakat to their children or their parents or even to a brother or sister, is if they're in debt. If your parents are in debt, you can help them get out of their debt by giving them zakat, and your son also, because that's not normal maintenance. Normally you wouldn't give that to them. And also one other case when you can give zakat to your children or to your parents is if you're so poor or somebody doesn't have enough to spend on them, and the only money they have is this zakat money. So then they can give that to their parents or to their children. Okay. Zakat is due after one complete year. We talked about this. Okay. Now this is an important subject here, which is what are the categories of wealth that are subject to the zakat? Sure. Next slide has more detail. Okay. Alright, what kinds of things require paying the zakat on them? Oh, this is good images, your brother, mashallah. What is this farm? If you have crops, you have to pay this on. Very good. And you have gold up there, mashallah. What is this picture here? Cattle, right? Cattle have to pay zakat? Yes, it's a very good image. And also, the rent that you receive from houses, and even your income tax, if you get a return.
401k.
401k, yes. Somebody has a 401k or IRA, that's money that is being saved for them, then they have to pay the tax.
You mean the Social Security too?
But if it's not cashed yet?
The scholars, they say that when you withdraw it, you have to pay zakat for all the previous years. But because that could be hard for a person, it's better for them to just pay as the time goes on. If they wait like 30 years, and then they have to pay zakat retroactively for all those years, it could be very hard for the person. So it's better if they can just pay the zakat on that money that they have, so when they withdraw it, they won't have that obligation of paying all that zakat at one time. So they're given the option. Social Security, you're not given access to it. You're not given access to it. So it's kind of more of a system, a government system, where it's not like you pay in dollar for dollar, you put a dollar and get it back later on. There's different variables, as far as I know. It's more of a system of assistance that the government gives to the elderly, and there's no guarantee that what you put in now you're going to get back later on. So it's not something that you would normally have to pay zakat for. Okay, so gold and silver, we have to pay zakat. Question for the sisters. What about jewelry? Sisters have to pay zakat on jewelry? It's gold, right? That's correct. What about a gold bracelet that has a big giant diamond in it? You have to pay zakat on the diamond? Yes? It's wealth? Well, actually, gems and stones are not considered zakatable wealth. So the gold and silver and cash, they have to pay zakat. But the stones, there's no zakat on it. Okay, so the cash and gold jewelry for women, according to the stronger of the two opinions, they should try to pay, they should give zakat on it. And stocks, if somebody buys stocks to trade in them, then there's zakat on it. Like somebody who's a day trader, somebody who, they buy zakat, some stocks today, tomorrow they're going to resell them. So this kind of, that becomes a trade good. And trade goods are subject to zakat. Somebody buys an investment for long term, and they're just going to keep that stock. Stock is just a portion, you become a share owner of the company. So you keep the stock just to earn the profit from the company, and you don't intend to trade in the stock. So then the zakat would not be due on those stocks.
Only on the profit
that a person gets from the stock. Some scholars, they say you should examine the company itself. If they have savings, cash savings, or they have things that would be subject to zakat, like they have merchandise, and then you should pay zakat based on what percentage of your ownership of the company is in merchandise or cash savings. That should be covered by zakat. Mutual funds, again, same as the stocks. Business, merchandise, and inventory. Where the gas station owners have some. You have merchandise inside the store that you keep throughout the year, a certain value of merchandise. So this merchandise that you have, the zakat is due on it after every year. It's not the retail value of each individual item, but it's the value if you were to sell all of those items on the market.
Market price
of the items, not the retail value. Because the individual retail value would be very hard to calculate, every item. So basically it's the value if you were to sell all of your inventory on the market at current price, what would you get for that inventory? Retirement plan. Real estate. If somebody's buying and selling and trading in real estate, profits from investments, trusts, life insurance. Although the scholars say life insurance should not be bought by Muslims because it's gambling and riba. And if somebody has life insurance, they only take what they paid into it, and the rest they give in charity. That's the correct view on that. And income tax return, liabilities. Okay, buried precious metals and minerals. If somebody found gold or silver under the ground, they have to pay what percentage? Of buried wealth. Where is Azhan? You know this one, Azhan? What percentage of buried wealth do you have to pay in zakat? You don't remember? Okay.
One-fifth.
The highest is for buried treasure, one-fifth. One-tenth is for non-irrigated crops. One-twentieth is for irrigated crops, and 1/40 is for savings and wealth. So I think this is going to... We're out of time now, inshallah ta'ala. So there's a lot more to cover. Maybe we'll cover it on a future date, or maybe after dinner. I don't know, it's up to the brothers. Yeah. So maybe after dinner we can finish up, inshallah ta'ala. So jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Wallahu a'lam.